Hey, I had a really great time. I would love to do that again. So, give me a call back. You never did call me to let me know you got in safely. So, I was just checking on you. All right, call me back. Okay, I'm very confused. We went out, we had a good time. At least I thought we had a good time, and now you dodging me. You're not answering my calls. That's real crazy to me. Call me back. Call me back. Call me back. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Save the Date podcast. This is the Healthy Dating Preservation podcast for millennials and anyone else who might need it. We are your hosts, Imani.
And I'm Candace.
We're back, and I mean, to be very frank, there is a lot going on, okay?
A
There's
lot
just so much happening. There's just so
going on.
much.
To the point that I can't think, why did I say, and I'm Candace?
Huh?
I said, to the point that I can't even think, because why did I say, and I'm Candace?
That's what we were supposed to say, right?
No, I was just supposed to say, and Candace.
Oh, I get it. I'm like, wait, what? But I get it. What
Introducing
I
myself
said
like this is my first time on the show.
first.
It's just too much. I gotta pick up line. It's just hard for me to be funny right now.
Yeah, first and foremost, I would like to personally say that I am very proud of all of you guys who are on the front lines, all of you guys who are behind the scenes, anyone who is trying to help demand justice for everybody who deserves it. Because we don't even have just one name. There's a list of names of people who deserve justice, and there will continue to be more. I'm very proud of you using your voices. And I'm praying, like I'm serious. I woke up praying for everybody's safety, and for your mental health, your like mental safety as well. Like these events are traumatic, and I will say that that is one of the reasons I have been hesitant to go outside and get out there. One, because I'm in a city where I'm not really that plugged into the protest community here, and it's very dangerous to go protest by yourself. With, nobody really knowing you there and not knowing where you are in case things get hectic. But also, I've had my own experiences with it, and it is very traumatic. And I had to admit that to myself, that I'm actually very nervous to go back out there and do anything else. I will eventually, because I feel like I need to. I'm supposed to. I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. But in the meantime, I'm donating to bail funds. I'm spreading information as I see it, calling, emailing, whatever, helping to keep people safe as best as I can. Doing every little thing counts and helps. And I just want everyone to know that whatever you're doing, as small as you think it is, it does mean something.
Same. I would like to add on to that. I would like to tell you guys that you are validated in your feelings. I think it's very important to give yourself that space to say that you are sad, that you are angry, whatever feeling that may be. I also would say, like, I appreciate y'all for being bold enough to say, like, that we are specifically addressing a war on Black people. And being comfortable with that, because I think, like, for so long we've tried to make other people comfortable and make it inclusive, but right now exclusively we are the ones that are being, quite frankly, haunted. I said haunted, haunted, and there is
Well,
not
haunted too, girl. We can't go nowhere
haunted to
without
you,
seeing these
right?
people.
You're
Shoot.
right. And there is not really any justice that is happening. So if y'all are listening to us and you have been trying to police people's actions about how they're reacting to things that are going on, I would say do a self-check. And then also, if you're going to police somebody, police the police. That's who you need to be paying attention
Hello,
to.
somebody. Come
So
on, somebody.
I've been trying not to gather the girls in everything that y'all are saying, but there are things that I've wanted to say. And what I will say is leave people alone. I tweeted yesterday, my little cousin, he was 6 years old when he watched the NYPD murder his brother, and we will say that, chased him into his home after seeing him walking on the street with no reason to stop him at all, but that stupid ass stop and frisk laws, excuse my language. And yesterday in Brooklyn, he's still walking fighting for justice, not only for his brother, but continuous people happening after him 8 years later, and he was 6 years old. So if you cannot understand why he was out yesterday, why his mother was out yesterday, why people that look like you were out, why people that don't look like you were out, just say that and leave people alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be, because they are reacting. They are not just taking action for no reason. This is a reaction, and it's necessary.
Yeah,
I may not react the same way that everybody reacts and does every single action that they do, but be clear, I'm with all that.
Yep. And I would like to go on record to say I am anti-police in the way that they exist right now. Yes, I do know some police officers. I know that they are nice people in their individual lives. I also know that the police were not established as a place where individually nice police can really change the police force. So all that they are doing and that they think they're doing to change, it's not going to help, because that's not the nature of a police state. So I don't have any pats on the back for anybody. Sorry. I don't like, I'm serious. The police as an institution of a state, I'm anti-police, and that's just it.
Yeah. I shouldn't be scared to be pulled over by a cop, but I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my dad, and I was telling him about me being pulled over, and the cop asked me why I didn't have my seatbelt on, and I said, because I didn't want to give you any reason to shoot me if I had to reach for my driver's license and my registration, so they're both in my lap.
Girl, I wrote about this a couple years ago. I pulled into a well-lit area when I got pulled over. I was by myself really late at night in Ohio, in Cincinnati, matter of fact. I pulled into a well-lit area. And the police officer comes up to my window and asks me why I didn't pull over immediately. And I said, well, I did. I just pulled into this parking lot because there's lights here. And he was like, what's that supposed to mean? And I was like, aren't you supposed to pull into a well-lit area? And he was like, what do you think that's going to protect you from? And a chill shot through my body. I just knew that he was going to ask me to get out of my car, and I was going to be like beat, and nobody was going to know where I was because I was by myself or something. Like he was being very like, you know, well, who do you know somebody over here? Is who's going to come save you? Like that. He was really saying that kind of stuff.
Antagonizing. Yeah.
And I was really scared. Like I was sitting there trying not to cry, because I also didn't want him to see me crying, but I was like, oh my God. And he took the longest time to run my plates and information, like so long. I was sitting in my car for a really long time. It was just, I cried for the rest of the night.
It's terrifying. That. It's
really scary, and it should not be that scary. And I never, I didn't know I was that scared of the police until that moment, I don't think. Like I didn't realize how afraid I was until then. Because, I mean, I knew that it was something to be scared of, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. I hadn't had an instance where I just immediately felt like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, we're police yet until that moment.
Yeah, and I've definitely been experienced. I've had some interesting run-ins with cops since I was, like, 14. So, which, I mean, one of them I was fighting. But still, like, just the, I've received excessive force by a cop when I wasn't resisting before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was probably not even 100 pounds soaking wet, because I was extremely skinny in high school. So, well, actually, this was middle school. I was 14. I was in eighth grade. I had that happen before. I've had one lie and say that I've assaulted them before. I've seen a cop go and spray pepper spray in the middle of a crowd that was nonviolent. And when people started to react to the pepper spray, they started beating and arresting people. Mm-hmm. I saw that first.
I've seen that too.
They caused the action to happen the way it did. I've had one specific cop that literally used to stalk me on my job. When we had senior day, she made a big situation about it. And she actually ended up getting an opportunity to pull me over one time, because she said she could see that I didn't have a seatbelt on from across the street. Mm-hmm. And it was the exact same cop. I saw her at the movie theaters. I saw her in the mall, because I worked in the mall. So she came into my job multiple times. I saw her, like I said, we had a breakfast at IHOP for senior week in high school. She harassed us there. Like, so I am not And I also have family in law enforcement and corrections.
Me too.
And they stand by me down to the point my mama has came and checked police real quick. And you know, that could risk her career, but she don't play about her kids. And she made it very clear, like, you have your rights, and made sure that I understood those. So I'm not saying, you know, that this is a war on cops, but it's definitely a war. It's accountability for their actions, period.
Yeah.
I'm not saying go out and kill a random cop. I don't think that's going to make you feel better, in my opinion. However, the institution itself has issues.
It is broken.
It needs to be addressed.
It's broken. Well, it's not even broken. It's functioning the way it's supposed to, and that's what's not okay with me. Like, exactly. This is exactly what police are supposed to be allowed to do, whatever they want, without consequence, and that's not
okay.
And
that's the problem.
So, yeah, lastly,
so y'all are clear on our views. We want y'all to be protected, but please know where we stand.
Yeah, no, please know where I stand. And then the last thing I want to say is, as we are fighting against police brutality and for justice, please, please, please do not forget the women who have been killed by police and who are routinely brutalized by police as well. We talk a lot as if it only happens to Black men. I know that it happens to Black men a lot. Statistically, there's no disputing that Black men are targeted by police, but it also happens to women. So as we women are going very hard for men and their safety and their right to live without being afraid of the cops, I would love to see a lot more men going hard for the same thing, for those same freedoms for women, and to acknowledge and say that these things happen to your daughters, to your mothers,
to your sisters,
to your homegirls, to your girlfriends, to your wives. Like, these things have the potential to happen to them as well. And I say that, and I will say justice for Breonna Taylor, who was killed in Louisville, Kentucky. If you've seen any of my social media posts, you have some background information on her. If not, Google her name. She was killed in her home, shot 8 times by police who do not identify themselves before breaking and entering on what's called a no-knock warrant. And my city is going up for her right now, and I appreciate that because she deserves it. She and her family and her boyfriend, who was there and had to witness her being killed, deserve that as well. So there's a lot going on. So take care of yourselves. Even as you're in the middle of the fight or whatever it is that you're doing, make sure that you're taking care of yourself. It's okay to take a break from some things. It's going to feel like, I can't take a break. It's not, you know, you might feel bad for it, but you can't pour from an empty cup. So the work will be there tomorrow after you've taken your 24 hours of rest. Wake back up and the work will still be there. I promise you.
I agree. And this is extremely traumatizing. And more recently with George Floyd, definitely we do want to acknowledge and say, you know, prayers to his family and to Minnesota, because they are also
going
and crazy every single day going at it. I have friends there that are on live to make sure people know where they are when they're out there protesting and what's going on, explaining what's actually happening in their city and their community compared to what's just being said. And y'all, like, for y'all mental state, if y'all need to unplug for a few hours, I did not watch that video. The photos alone, like,
I ain't watching no videos either.
I cannot continue to watch people die on social media because it is hard. I don't take death well as it is.
Yeah.
So,
same.
Don't feel guilty if you did not watch that video. You know what your triggers are, and you got to protect yourself mentally. You know, whatever space you may be in spiritually, for me, it was appreciated to hear my pastor addressing what's going on.
Absolutely.
It's always appreciated to hear my pastor what's going on.
And it's their
my
duty.
Pastor speak on what's going on. And it's their duty. And as I identify as a Christian, I'm not going to hide that. I don't think we've ever hid that on the show.
Right.
And if you are a Christian, yes, you should be held accountable for speaking out on injustice.
And your pastor, as your leader and your shepherd, if you have a concern with why they are not addressing these issues or whatever, you do have a duty to ask. Ask whoever ranks or in your church, whoever you can ask. Ask the question. are we going to address this? Why haven't we? What's our belief? What's our stance on these types of issues or whatever? And then move accordingly, because this is liberation and justice are the message of Christ. Now, I don't care what anybody told you, but that's in the Bible. Like, that's not something that I just kind of like made up, or, you know, this is not me bending anything to support my own message. Like, that is in the Bible.
So it's literally in the Bible. And Jesus, like, he might have been with it in a different way, but Jesus was out walking and doing a whole lot of work.
He was in it in similar ways too.
I agree. I'm just, you know, saying, like, just so y'all are clear, Jesus was not a non-active person.
He was, like, the definition of an activist.
He was action.
And he was action. Every day that he lived, he was challenging.
He did the work.
The Pharisees are the government. So every day that he lived, he was challenging the states. And that is really the reason why he was killed, for real. It wasn't just, you know, oh, he had to be crucified to save our sins. Yes, but the way that he was crucified was because he was an enemy of the state. So if you have too many amens from political people, you might not be on the right side of history.
You're probably saying the wrong stuff.
We're supposed to be troublemakers out here. But yes, please stay safe, y'all. I'm praying for everybody. I'm praying for us.
We love y'all.
It's a lot. Yes. And thank you, Black people, for not being able to take everything seriously all the time. Because I've been weak and stuff. I appreciate y'all for joking when you can. Sometimes it ain't appropriate, but I feel like we have I think we do a good job of picking appropriate moments to make a little joke here and there.
Most times.
Yeah, so I appreciate that.
Sometimes y'all be a little out of pocket, but I know, and I'd be like,
read the room. It's not the time, but when it's the time, I'm gonna come back and laugh at this, because that's funny.
Yes. There have been some happenings while they've been out at this riot that's been funny.
The memes have kept me in stitches. Listen, I'm sorry, I'm not ashamed to say
Target Joanne or whatever that lady real name is.
Not Joanne.
Baby.
Been weak.
Y'all are clever, so we appreciate that too for finding. I feel like Black people always find a way to, like, I don't know. It's not like
it's uplifting ourselves. It's spiritual. It's us maintaining our spiritual health, to be honest. It has to be, because I think we have to do it in order to even stay sane. We have to find something to laugh at.
And it feels so good. So it don't really stop that either.
No, please. Keep the jokes coming.
You could shut up.
Very low key. Yeah.
May the force be with all of your May the force be with all of your followers that are leaving your page.
That was a lot.
She just shut up. So,
All right.
Well, so since we got a little bit lighter, that made me, you know, a little bit feel a little bit better, because I've been real heavy lately. About giving a pickup line. So, I actually lost it. So, this one is a little corny, but we'll roll with it. Pick up the line of the week. I said, pick up the line of the week. Okay. Right. Pick up line of the week. Your body is made up of 70% water, and I'm thirsty.
It's a little creepy, but from the right person.
Yes.
You might be like,
be thirsty for me.
Okay. Get you a glass then. Go ahead, grab your straw.
At first, I thought you said, get your glass.
Oh, no. That's what I would say to the not the right person. Okay, y'all. So, on this episode, I guess in light of what's going on, we did want to kind of talk about, I feel like we have there's so many times to discuss, like, for dating, because we're living in a time of COVID when we can't even really go on in-person dates, and then we're living in a time where there's a lot of political unrest, and so it's important to a lot of people to you know, date people with similar political views, or to not date people with, like, extremely different political views or whatever. You know, what can you compromise on? How do you even have these discussions, those kinds of things? So we kind of want to talk about that today. So let's start with digging the scene. I'm not going to drag digging the scene out today, but I do have a few things. Is it important to you, Candace, that your political views align with someone you date?
Ooh, we got some popping on the polls on this.
Oh, okay. Well, we can say, well, no. We'll talk about you, and then we'll get to what everybody else said.
Yeah, well, I was going to do popping on the post for the rest of the segment.
Right.
So, but for me, it is important for it to be similar, partially because I don't have the energy to be arguing about stuff all the time. Like, I just don't. Like, it's extremely annoying. Not that I don't be open to a good debate. I just don't want to do that every day with the person that I'm dating. Now, I can understand that we may have some opposing opinions on specific topics. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you're, like, about a totally different, like, for a totally different party or, and it's so weird that the older I'm getting, I'm kind of, I don't know. I'm for the people.
And that's just that.
Majority of the time. So that's just that. So people that are not, even when they're trying to defend, you know, why they aren't, there's a difference in how we see things and what we believe in. So if you're on the opposite side, it's really hard for me to see how we could long-term be together.
Yeah.
So I just choose not to have that going on.
I totally agree. Because, well, the political views that I have are the most important to me are ones that deal with safety and my ability to live a prosperous life, not necessarily, like, you know, money wise, but just my my ability to make choices for my own body, my ability to not be harmed by police, like those kinds of things. I'm not letting up on any of those. That's right. Not something that I'm willing to sit and hear both sides, quote unquote, because I don't think there is another side besides humanity side. So I'm not sitting up talking to nobody or negotiating or compromising with somebody who doesn't believe in those certain things. Not even going to debate it, honestly. I'm just, if I understand us to have different views on that, I'm gonna let you hold yours and I'm gonna hold mine, unless you're asking me something about, like, wanting to learn something different about it, then maybe I'll discuss it. But I'm not really a person that's like, okay, so let's have the debate, everybody. This is why you're wrong. Like, I don't want to do that. And I especially don't intend to do it every day in my relationship. Have you ever dated anyone with different political views?
Not necessarily, like, where they admitted that their views were different, but I've dated someone who tried to get me to tie religious views to a specific party. And that was an interesting conversation. But like, seriously, just dated somebody that's like, I ain't with that at all. No. I feel like I've been on a date maybe with people that see different from me, but I ain't really like I just don't attract those type of people, I don't think, because I'm very open about the sides that I choose about a lot of stuff. So I don't have a whole lot of experience of dating somebody who is total opposite of me when it comes to political views.
Yeah, I have never, like, dated as in, like, this is my partner, but I've been on dates with people or have been actively seeing someone and then at a point been like, I'm sorry, you believe what now? And then we have to have the conversation and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I don't talk to them no more because I don't have time to be fighting with somebody that I, you know, it's not, again, those specific ones that I talk about, my safety and my health and all that kind of stuff. It's not hard for me to be like, oh, well, you know, it was nice knowing you, but you won't be hearing from me again, sir. That's not hard for me to do when it comes to those things. It's harder for other things, but not those.
Like I said, I'm for the people majority of the time, and typically the people or the men that I've experienced that's tried to convince me otherwise is for economic reasons. Yes. So you're probably not my type anyways.
Yeah. How early do you even talk about politics?
I'm not one of those people who puts limits on stuff like that. If somebody introduces it on the first date, it can be a little awkward because if I don't like it, we not going on the second date. True. Like, I'm just like, all right, you're not for me. But I like to try to, like, just let conversations happen naturally. Like, if it's in a, like, state of, like, stuff that's going on right now, I feel like it's going to come up. If you meet somebody around election time, it would kind of be weird if both of y'all, if that's an interest for both of y'all and y'all don't bring it up just for the sake of, like, you know, whatever. But I am very particular about who I have those types of conversations with. So if I feel like, you know, to a, this probably would sound insulting, but if I feel like you just don't have the range to do this, I would rather us not have
the conversation. No, that's very true. Like, and I don't even think it's, it can sound insulting, but at the end of the day, if I've done the work to educate myself on something and I can tell that you haven't, there's no use in us having this conversation if you refuse to acknowledge that you have not done the work to educate yourself on it. Mm-hmm. If everything that you, if all of your beliefs on this are strictly your opinion, what are we conversing about? Because I don't have just my opinion. I have my opinion. I have my opinion is probably based on things that I've researched or read or looked into mm-hmm. or lived in themselves. So if I don't feel like we're on that same plane as far as how we can discuss, I would just say, oh, okay, and leave it alone. Cause I don't want to waste my time and energy going back and forth with somebody. I don't necessarily think there's a time limit on when to discuss these, although a lot of sources online tell you not to discuss politics or religion on a first date. But mm-hmm. honestly, you don't have to have the conversation as, let's have a conversation about politics. Right. If you listen to people and how they talk, you can kind of sometimes tell
their beliefs.
Where they lie on a lot of big issues. Like, if you constantly are hearing somebody that you're dating talking about things about, like, the way they talk about baby mamas, or the way they talk about women and their bodies and how they, and abortions and like stuff like that, mm-hmm. you can tell where they fall on the spectrum.
Or the way they talk about child support sometimes.
Child support is another one. You can listen to how they talk about economics too. Like, mm-hmm. there are a lot of things that I do believe economically would help improve our economies. I mean, our community and the economy. But the way that people talk about it is what puts me off, because people are very condescending to Black people when it comes to economics. And I do not go for that at all. Like, I don't go for you blaming Black people. Anybody that tells me something like, if we weren't buying so many Jordans, we could have generational wealth, or y'all spending money on Jordans and you don't got a passport. Like, that type of stuff is very tone deaf and doesn't make any sense. So I don't usually want to hear what else you have to say about anything.
And typically people that are saying things like that don't understand economics. And I also conversations with people that don't. I don't like to have political conversations with people that don't understand economics, because usually that's how you end up guesstimating who you want mm-hmm. to go into a certain office, because you don't understand the economic outcome.
And
I am a business major. I studied macro and microeconomics. And trust me, the election going on is why I passed my class. So that's what I mean. Like, if you don't have the range, if you don't understand how it's connected, if you don't understand how it's going to affect you on a day-to-day, and you going off of personality or personal opinion without any like factual data behind it,
right,
like, we probably should stay away from that.
And I will admittedly say, like, I'm a person that I feel like probably sometimes comes across as I think I know everything, but that's mm-hmm. not the case, because I think the reason why some people may perceive me that way is because I refrain from talking about stuff that I don't know about. Like, if I haven't actually educated myself on something, you will not hear me talk about it, because I don't know. So in the case of economics, there are a lot of things about economics that I do not understand. But I know those red flag statements about how we spend our money and disparaging comments on the Black community and generational wealth, I do know that that is not the reason why we don't have generational wealth. So I automatically don't want to hear much else you have to say about economics.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate when people who don't talk like that are able to provide more insight about economics to me, because I don't know everything about economics. It's a topic that, I mean, I took some economics courses in college because you have to. So I have like a basic understanding of things, but I'm always open to, you know, learning more, whether it, not even on no debate type stuff, like
just learning.
It's just learning, because you have like everybody has more to learn about something, and economics is one of those things to me.
That is just tied to so much. That's why,
right,
I mean, like,
exactly.
It's just like, you, if you don't understand it, I would rather you say that than to,
yes,
like, because even when people try to debate about stuff and what they ain't doing because they don't want people to get that and blah 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 blah, or they putting their hope in really weird stuff, and I'm like, well, you do realize we're in debt, so where do you think that money is gonna come from?
Right, because, right. And that's
like you're saying, give me this and they want this and I'm not doing that. I'm voting for this person because I'm tired of giving people my money and blah, 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 blah. And that's the same person making promises to give you things that there's no way to fund
without taxes. So it's just like, yeah, I'm again. So to the next question, do you believe in attempting to teach, like educate somebody with different views, especially somebody you're dating? Or do you believe in just letting it go? Like, okay, this is not going to happen type thing.
I believe in teaching people that are learning to, I mean, that are willing to learn. And I feel the same way about religion. However, there are things that I stand strongly on. And if this is going to be a debate, and if you want to debate on your opinion versus fact, then I'm not going to keep having that conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel that I'm the same way about religion. If you know that I believe in the Bible and, like, if I tell you something from the Bible and you like, well, that don't make sense, and that I don't know how far you want where you want me to go from that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you this book, and if you don't believe in this book, like, we can have a conversation about why you don't and another source of information you have, but if it's just like, you know, there's just air through what you're saying, I'm the same way about an opposing opinion with politics. Like, if you give me some meat and potatoes and we can have a discussion, or you're willing to hear my side. Like, maybe you've grown up specifically believing a totally different way from me, but you're like, okay, I want to hear your insight. I want to understand why you think this way. I'm totally up for that. I'm totally teaching about that. I'm totally up for us learning together, because I don't know everything either, and I won't claim to. But if I feel like you're just going to be belligerent about, like, the fact that we don't see eye to eye on this topic, I'm totally okay with just leaving it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And leaving it alone probably means leaving you alone, too, because you're not going to torture me. 100%.
Yeah, I pay attention. I even pay attention to how people present these conversations. Because having a difference of political opinion is one thing, but not knowing how to discuss something is another thing. And I don't care if we have similar views. If you don't know how to have a conversation, a respectful conversation about something that you're passionate about, we can't be together, because that's annoying to me. Like, I cannot stand talking to a person whose view on this, like, difficult conversations is, this is my view, change my mind, go. Like,
that is so annoying.
I'm not going to. Like, I'm going to tell you to get out of my face. That's what I'm going to do.
Because I didn't come here to change your mind anyway.
Right. This is not a public forum. Like, we're on a date. Please relax. But, So I looked up some things on dating people with different political views.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually quite a bit out there about, like, how that can affect your relationship and, like, success rates of relationships with differing political views. But there was one quote from this article in Thrive Global. And these comments are from, I'll tell you who they're from after, because I don't want to lose my place in the article where I stopped to. But this is a psychologist that is saying this. But they're basically saying, yes, you can date someone with different political preferences. However, your political differences may be a perpetual issue in your relationship. Oh, and this is from Dan Weil, a marriage and family therapist at the University of California, Berkeley. There is value in choosing a long-term partner and realizing that you will inevitably be choosing a particular set of unsolvable problems that you'll be grappling with for the next 10, 20, or 50 years. No matter who you choose, you will be choosing a particular set of unsolvable problems. So choose well. So basically what this is saying is, you will never find a partner that you agree with 100% of the time on 100% of subjects.
Right.
You have to decide what you're willing to compromise on. You have to choose the particular set of unsolvable issues that you're okay with existing in your relationship. You may be okay with the fact that your partner is not the tidiest. That's an unsolvable issue. They did not grow up cleaning up. They're 30 now. You're not getting ready to train them to clean up behind themselves.
It's irritating, though, y'all.
It is irritating.
Know what you're signing up for with somebody who don't like to clean.
So if that's not your unsolvable issue that you're okay with having, you can't do it. But if that is an okay one, and something like your views on abortion or bodily autonomy for women in general, whether it's abortion or birth control or whatever, that's something that maybe you would not be willing to bend and waver on. That's something that I'm not, like, as an unsolvable issue, as a person who could possibly have a daughter one day, I don't want to be married to someone who thinks they control my daughter's body. I think right. about that all the time, because I didn't grow up that way, and I would never want to put my daughter in a position to grow up in that kind of, you know, environment.
Mm-hmm.
Or being taught those kinds of things, if I have a daughter. And even if I don't have a daughter, I'm a woman, and I don't want my husband thinking that he controls my body either. Because, baby, you don't. So, so just, like, think about those kinds of, think about the conversations that you're having and what set of unsolvable issues are okay with you. If the idea that your partner, you and your partner could be voting differently, and could be championing different causes, opposing causes at that, doesn't bother you, then cool. But if it's not going to sit well with you to be in a house divided, you really do need to take those kinds of things into consideration early on in the dating stages. You don't want to marry someone.
Like, don't run away from having that conversation. Yeah. Cause it's going to come to a head eventually.
Because the worst thing to marry somebody and then find out that blue lives matter to them. Like, you know, I mean, the police individually, nobody wants, I don't want police to be just killed in the street or anything.
Right.
But a blue life is not a thing. These are people in a uniform. Like, you know what I'm
making
saying?
Choice.
Like, yeah. So, I would have been like, if I was ever on a date and somebody was like, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but Blue Lives Matter, I would be like, check, please.
So when did you color it blue? Like, what are you talking about?
So here is some information on active listening as well, because when we have these conversations with people, obviously it can be very difficult to have the conversation. It can also get very heated. It can also get very, like, people are passionate about a lot of their political views, and that comes mm-hmm. across in the way you discuss them, and that's okay. Like, it's okay to be passionate about your things that affect your everyday life,
right?
But when you are trying to have a meaningful conversation with someone, sometimes you have to channel your passion into, like, in a different way so that the conversation can be productive. Whether that is, and productive does not mean you're convincing somebody to come to your side. It's just everybody needs to hear each other out. And then you make your own decision on what you want to do with that information from the conversation. So I have this article from the Huffington Post. Yeah, HuffPost. What is popping up on this computer? I can't even read without a video popping up. I'm annoyed. No, I'm lying. This article from the HuffPost is about how to love somebody with opposing views, and I'll get to active listening later. Rule number one for how to love somebody with opposing views. Now, we can talk about whether we agree with these tips or not.
Okay.
Don't look at your partner as a surrogate for his or her party's candidate, which basically means you're not in a relationship with the candidate. Like,
right.
You are just, okay. They just support them or they don't.
It depends on how exactly. far they care.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was about to say. Because I'm like, well, actually, because the way they be talking, I don't know. They might.
Sounds like they might be the same person.
Exactly. Rule number two, keep things in perspective. It says, hold on. Carrie complains about him from time to time, and that's okay with me. He told, wait, there was a thing that I was looking for. Anyway, keep things in perspective of your relationship is what it's trying to say. And there's a quote here from somebody who dates somebody with different political views. And it says, the 20 plus years I've been married to her have been the best years of my life. And there's no way a political disagreement could compromise my affection for her. It depends on which political disagreement we have, because that can compromise my affections for somebody. I promise it can. And that's not even just in a romantic way. Like, friends that I have, I wish the best for you, and I don't wish any harm on you or anything like that, but I can stop looking at you in the friendship light after a certain point.
Yeah.
If you have dangerous political views is what I'm really getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Remind yourself that winning isn't everything. So in a relationship, you shouldn't be trying to win in political discussions. Don't bring politics to bed. Yeah. Anyway, recognize the core beliefs you do share. So emphasize the ones that you guys are strong together on. Value the experience of listening to the other side. Sometimes there is a lot of information that you don't know about something that you think you disagree with or whatever. So sometimes it's good to sit and listen to what that person is saying and let them give you some information that you hadn't thought of or whatever the case may be. And that's it for that. And I think I'm going to save the active listening tips until after you do popping on the polls, because I know that was one of the questions that you asked. And I know people had suggestions.
Yeah, we got quite a bit of reviews for that.
Okay, so I will end digging the scene here then. That's it for digging the scene.
And we can move on.
All right. I'm going to keep the Trend Watch segment short again today. This trend is called white clawing. Yep. Do you know what a white claw is?
I don't know. I just thought a white person. What's a white claw? I was like, oh, God. I'm sick of him today.
Why do we got to talk about white people here today? Dang, of all the days. Now we got to talk about white claws. That's crazy.
Right, okay.
A white claw is this drink. It's like a seltzer drink. Okay. It's like seltzer water, and it comes flavored or whatever. But white clawing is... the act of staying with someone you find basic or boring only because you find them attractive. Because seltzer water is very basic.
That's why it's so funny.
So it's staying with somebody you find basic or boring only because you find them attractive. Over a quarter of singles, 27%, admit to having done this before. 42% yep. say they know someone who has done this. I will admit that I have dated someone that I found very physically attractive, but there were not many lights on above.
Yeah, I dated a complete moron. But he was fine. And I was trying, and then one day I was like, this nigga is stupid, and I cannot any longer. It turned me off so bad that I literally, like, cold turkey just stopped talking to him. I was like, he is really stupid. That's it for me. And it was just, like, a math problem, and he had boogers in his nose. That
I remember you telling us this.
So, yes, I've definitely done that. There was no substance, and I was like, this boy got poo for brains. Like, I don't know what is going on up there, but I am out.
Mine was that, I mean, and honestly, I don't like to talk down on what people find joy in or don't find joy in, because that's not what I think is exciting or important, or interesting, may not be the same thing for somebody else. But I also know that I cannot, like, the person that I'm thinking of, he's very fine, like, even to this day, like, right mm-hmm. now today, if I go look at him right now, he's gonna be fine. But he was just so boring, like, so boring. He never wanted to do anything exciting, and he would be like, well, why don't we just, you know, like little, he always wanted to come over. I always wanted to sit in a house. I always wanted to watch a movie. Let's stay in and cook. Like, this is not fun. It's not fun. You cute. You real fine. But you are boring. And then, like, having conversations with him, I was like, what are you even talking about? Like, 90% of the time, I would be like, where did you get this from? And where is that coming from? What are we talking about? And it's not even like these are, I'm not saying that about, like, he was very passionate about something and I just thought it was stupid. I mean, like, he would literally be, like, explaining something random to me and I would be like, where did you come to this conclusion and why are you sharing it right now? Like, what? He told me that he volunteered this information. I never asked him this. I don't know why he was wanted to tell me this, but he told me that sperm is where people mm-mm. get their personality. Mm-mm. Like, when the sperm nope. meets the egg,
stop it.
The personality is the responsibility of the sperm. And because I'm a jerk, I was like, I need to know where this is going in his mind. So I kept asking questions. I'm like, the sperm.
So where did he say he got the information from?
This is just what he believes. I promise you, there was no basis for this conversation at all. I don't remember I don't even remember what was happening. We were sitting at a restaurant, the two times we actually went to a restaurant, and I'm eating chicken tenders, and he is just, you know, I forget what he said before. It was something that he said that, like, led into the conversation, but the thing that he said didn't have nothing to do with nothing. I think we were, like, sitting there talking, or maybe, like, just chilling, just eating, and he was like, something, and he was like,
he was like, my baby gonna act like me one day.
He has a daughter, and that's what made me scared. I was like, please don't ever teach this to your child. But he was always saying little stuff, like, what, and I would be like, where did you get that? And I would be dead serious, like, I really want to know who told you that, and he would be like, this is where I, you know, this is just what I believe. I have a lot of strong beliefs, and he was dead serious, but like, because, you know, the sperm is where you get your personality from. And, you know, me, I'm like,
really?
Excuse me? Say that again. What now? And he was like, yeah, sperm. And I was like, what do you mean that's where you get your personality? Because I didn't even understand that he was talking about the reproductive system at first. I'm just thinking he's talking about just sperm. I'm like, why are we talking about sperm? I'm eating chicken tenders. But he was like,
I'm when going anywhere ranch to make it real.
No, I wasn't. But thank you for the visual, Candace. But I was like, so then he clarified he was talking about, like, when you reproduce with someone. And I was like, oh, okay. So, like, the sperm and the egg. So what does the egg contribute? And he was like, the rest of the baby is up to the egg.
Everything is.
And I was like, so the sperm is just responsible for the personality. And I was like, well, why would sperm be responsible for a personality? And he was like, you ever seen sperm before? I was like, why, yes, I have. Like, what? And he was like, no, like, you know, under a microscope, they be moving around and all that stuff. They're, like, alive. And I was like, okay. And they have personalities. And I was like, I'm done with this conversation.
So he thinks that the sperm
has a personality, Candace.
And it inserts into an egg and boom.
Personality.
He thinks that sperm is a tadpole.
He thinks that the sperm
is the literally a personality.
And dreams, it's a and hopes and dreams. And it's probably funny.
Wiggling.
Because the personality is hilarious. Like, if your child's hilarious, the sperm was so funny.
You do realize where he got all this from, right?
Nowhere.
Look who's talking now.
Girl!
That has to be where he got this from.
You might be right,
that
though.
Sperm literally was, like, in a bank. It wasn't in a bank. It was in the man's, you know.
But
anyways, he was having sex, and one shot out, and he was like, I gotta get there. And then, you know, like, the baby ends up sounding like the sperm.
That's true.
So that is true.
Oh, my God. Now I have to ask him if that's where he got it from. I'm so disgusted.
That is probably where he got it from, because that's why he probably has never literally seen sperm under a microscope. He saw that sperm in the movie.
Girl.
Because at the beginning of the movie, the sperm is swimming to the egg.
Well, sperm does swim the entire time. Okay, yeah, you're right. He was very adamant about the fact that each sperm has personality already.
Because all of them had different voices in the movie.
I am flabbergasted. You are probably right, and I cannot even. I can't. But it was always something like that. Like, one day, this is just random. Another day, he told me my eyelashes looked great. And I was like, oh, thanks. I just tried out a new mascara. And he was like, what did he say? Something about them looking extra long. And I was like, yeah, mascara. And he was like, mascara doesn't make your eyelashes long. And I was like, that's literally the purpose of mascara. And he was like, no, it just makes them darker so that they look full. And I was like, do you wear mascara? Right. And he was like, no, but, like, how is it even possible that a liquid could make your eyelashes longer? And I was like, well, it's, like, fibers that, like, wrap around your lash and elongate them. And he was like, no.
Oh, you gonna tell me?
Would you like to look it up? And so we looked it up, and he was just like, nah, that's crazy. And I was like, okay, well, But yes, it was so, it was always something like that. But he was he's so fine.
Girl. Sad. I mean, I've dated like an extremely educated person before that made me feel like I needed to Google stuff before I said stuff. So
I've also dated an extremely educated person that was hella boring still too.
Oh yes, very much so. I was talking about me probably being on the other side of like, where did you get that? So I made sure that I always like Google stuff and had dates so I didn't say the wrong date because that was the type of person to be like, that's interesting. Because that happened. Da, da, da. I'm like, stop trying to blast me about my information.
I did know that. Thank you very much.
Right. You can't catch me slipping every time. But no, I've definitely dated. I've also dated somebody very fine that could not dress to save their life. And it drove me absolutely insane.
Girl, me and my sister was just talking about that. And I don't think I'm the most stylish person on the planet. But I also don't really want to be
phones with skinny jeans. That ain't it. So I mean,
I'm dead.
It's just you know, I've dated.
It's dress clothes that be getting me. Like your regular clothes, yeah. But like when it's time to dress up, if I have on something really nice and your clothes don't fit, I'm gonna go away.
I was about to say, I am so glad that like tailored suits are like a thing now because I used to be like, boy, these big old shoulders in your suit. Where are you going? Why your neck looks so loose when you go trying to go to these New Year's Eve parties with your uncle blazer on, bro? Like, where are you going?
It's the pants that always get it for me. Like, why are your pants so baggy? Like, why?
It be that jacket. Why don't they fit? Because they neck, it make their head look small. And neck look, everybody look like.
I feel like somebody is going to listen to this episode and pull up photos of me in ugly outfits. And I'm going to have to be like, I know, I said I'm not the best dressed. But when it's time to get dressed, I know how to put on an outfit. Shoot.
I wore basketball shorts on the first day of school in high school. So I know somebody could probably try to come for me. And that's okay. My hair was done. And I thought I was cute. My shirt was spray painted. Because we had this group called Dime Piece. we got the shirts made for Juneteenth for the Juneteenth concert, but we also wore them on the first day of high school. So somebody might try to check. That's okay. All I'm saying is the big suit wearing boys need to find them a tailor before they go to the next party because that is so unattractive. I'll be looking like, especially when I got to Atlanta and I really started to see men in like tailor suits. I would look at people from Little Rock like, please stop dressing up till you get you a tailor. Because this is so bad. Like, you look like you got like you bought a Steve Harvey suit.
Yeah. It's too much. Sometimes I'll be like, well, why don't you just go get the pants tailored? Like, right. You know, try to suggest it gently.
Have you been to the tailor before? I'd be quick and stuff. Like, you know, like Nordstrom and like they typically got a tailor, but if you want somebody cheaper, typically there's like some old man with like a place. The cleaners be having tailors sometimes too. Maybe you should send your suit to the cleaners.
I go right over here to these Haitians in the mall and they get me together every time.
See what I'm saying? But you like, for a I'm good just glad that that's too. Starting to be in because it do be some nice looking dudes that just can't dress. Or even if they suit fit, it just be wild. Like it's people that be trying to be too stylish and they look a fool. There's a very popular Instagram person that I won't say his name. One New Year's Eve, he did the fool. And I was like, boy. I don't know who's little Hispanic band you about to play in.
Not Hispanic band. Oh, my God. He would not be looking like a mariachi.
That's exactly what he looked like.
I'm dead.
So, I'm pretty sure, you know, that's a fashion fail from years ago. They might get offended that I said that. But it was awful. And, you know, and we have our athletes that dress terribly most times trying to
make
them
be looking cute and everybody be thinking they look a mess and I'd be like, you don't even look that bad. And then they'd be like, what?
Well, Cam Newton be looking bad sometimes.
Sometimes, yes, he does look a mess.
Sometimes he looks nice and then sometimes he's like, okay, going too far. All right. Russell Westbrook, same thing. Sometimes he's like, all right. And then sometimes he's like, oh, no, not all right.
That didn't really do it.
It did.
But yeah, so staying with somebody that you think is boring, uninteresting,
dangerous,
not intelligent, otherwise unattractive, aside from the fact that they look real good, that's White Klon. So be on the lookout for that.
I feel like men
trend.
Probably do that. I feel like women definitely do that and like save their ego and not tell them, but I definitely feel like men probably do that a lot too.
Men don't be.
They don't care about
much.
Nothing.
That's what I was about to say.
Like, they be like, well,
I don't think they
you know,
stay with them just because I think that's what they was looking for to begin with.
They probably be like, snapping the fingers. Okay, the lights ain't on in there, but she fine. It's all right. It's
girl, right. And don't let them be able to convince her of a few things. Then it's, I love a woman that I can teach some things, a woman that wants to learn from me.
Baby,
like,
they love trying to be a professor.
Let me be quiet.
They love trying to be a professor. Boy, get your third grade education behind on somewhere.
No, it'd be the college ones that do it the most to me. Don't get me started on Morehouse Men.
Oh, God, please. Ooh,
I know two of them that's listening right now that are getting ready to text me like, hey, watch
your lecture me. Like, literally, I'm like, boy, if I wanted to go to breakfast with my daddy, I would have called him. Please leave me alone. I don't need you to try to learn me today, okay? I got it.
That is so funny.
I definitely had a Morehouse Man that used to, I was like, if you are trying to bring me up to a party that you feel like that I'm not at, please leave me alone. But please stop trying to lecture me,
girl,
every time I get
just
around
coaching
you.
Me into whatever you think.
I had a man check me about my posture before.
Mm-hmm. I remember you telling us that story too.
I was like, So yeah. If I'm a dud, leave me alone.
Honestly. Which is exactly what we're talking about now. Right. It's leaving people alone that you feel like are a dud. So that is the trend watch segment.
I can't wait to tell somebody I was white clawing them. You was just here for your looks. White claw. Now I'm about to black claw you.
Not black claw. All right, y'all. Let's.
All righty. So we are moving into the save the date segment.
That's not the save the day segment.
Jesus Christ.
This is a whole show now. Don't do us like that.
Now moving into the Rescue Me segment. The Rescue Me segment is where we allow our listeners to be a part of the show. So during this time, we take different letters from people that may have written in, or if you record yourself. If you ever want to send us a letter or story into the show, you can email us at savethedaysos@gmail.com. Or you could send it to us on our Instagram to share more. So for this week, we brought back Popping on the Pose just to get a little bit of insight on how people feel about these political views. And then we also asked a question, kind of what Imani opened up about just a minute ago. So we will jump into those now. Give me just a second. Okay, so for the first question, have you ever dated someone with different political views from you? 75% of people that are part of our little community said hard pass. And only 25% of people have actually dated someone with an opposing political view. The next one, would you date someone with opposing political views? 100% said no. Oh, sorry. No. That my screenshot is early. 23% said yes, 77% said no, which makes sense considering they never have and probably aren't open to. Hmm. However, the interesting side of that, even though they said that they would not date someone with opposing political views, 91% of people, when it comes to difference of opinion, said that the difference of opinion is welcome, and only 9% said that it's annoying to have a difference of opinion.
I was in that 9%.
I was gonna say, just to let you guys know, the 9% is me and Imani. Apparently we were the only two people that voted that it's annoying.
Because it is.
It is extremely annoying. I think some people are just being gracious, but you know,
it's only it's not annoying that they have a different opinion. It's annoying that people who often have a different opinion just have to tell you that all the time. Like, be quiet. I don't care.
And they want you to defend yours all the time. Like, bruh, yes. I haven't had breakfast yet. I don't want to do this right now.
Haven't even brushed your teeth while you talking about politics.
Right. Get off Twitter. We're not about to do this today. Leave me alone. So that is annoying. Like, because people who see differently from you, like, they be wanting to send you YouTube videos on stuff. Like, what is this? Why
like,
you could have captured?
I swear.
Just watch
like,
it. Just watch it. We're going to talk about it later. No! It's 7 o'clock in the morning! I don't want to do that today! So it can be annoying, especially if you know that y'all have opposite views, because you know that the video is literally something defending their view, and the expectation is that you got to defend yours later, and that is just annoying. But kudos to y'all who said it's welcomed. Maybe y'all a little bit more mature than me. So, I did ask the question of if you have an opposing opinion from some, if That don't make sense. If you disagree with someone, what are some of the strategies that you use to actively listen? And a lot of people said clarification, but I'm going to read them off just because this is our wrestling segment this week. So the first person said they repeat for clarification. Repeating my understanding of what they are saying for clarity. Another one said, take some time and come back later when I'm more receptive to listening. I think that that's a really good one. Because I can ask you what you meant, but that doesn't mean that I actually, like, received what you said. And I could very well just respond out of what I think. Another one said, ask clarifying questions or other probing questions. Or ask how that person came to their point instead of making an opposing point. Another said, checking for understanding. It sounds like you're saying XYZ. Am I understanding correctly? And I think that one is similar to your response, Imani. For some reason, I can't find yours in here. Another says, try to understand their background and upbringing. That shapes a lot of opinions.
Yes.
I don't typically do that, but I agree that that's fair. I would say... I think I am reactive in doing that. Like, that's not always my first thought. And then I said, okay, well, we are different. You know, let me understand why we're different. And that's probably contributing to the way you're feeling. So that is something to do proactively when you're trying to actively listen. Another said, I always ask why and never assume I know what someone is talking about. And I think that's good too, because like, I think, which goes back to the asking for clarity, because it's like, okay, I understood it this way. Is that really what you meant before I respond? Somebody said they don't speak, intentionally look when finished. So what I'm hearing you say is, so again, another clarity one. Don't simply listen to strike a counterpoint. Listen to understand the point of view. One person said, sit on their hands, and sis agreed. Because sometimes you'd be like, nope, I don't understand at all, but I'm going to sit on my hands and hold my lips together because that don't make sense to me. One said, stay calm, respect to his speaking, and be mature enough to agree to disagree. That's a good one. Another person said, acknowledge what the other is saying and agree to disagree. Another said, make it my goal to understand and remember that understanding does not mean agree. And I think that that's really good. Yes. Because some people feel like if they say, I understand you, that means I'm agreeing to you. So they literally like withhold saying that they understand where somebody is coming from because they don't want to give them the power of you won the conversation.
Right.
When in the reality is, it's like, no, it's just very productive to get past the point of understanding.
Yeah.
And then the last one says, letting them get it all out first, then I make my point, asking to not be interrupted, which I think is really good because a part of active listening is understanding when to be quiet, and you do have the right to ask, okay, I let you finish, now can I go? Because I'm not always good with actively listening. And we had somebody send us a message, and she said that she takes notes.
I do that
too. To be able to ask questions. I know I thought of you when I saw that. But she said one was to be able to understand what they're saying and ask questions. But also so she doesn't interrupt him and lose her point. Because if not, then she'll just want to say it so that she don't forget what she got to say. And then it turns into an argument.
Yeah. And you don't want to constantly be thinking, okay, when he's done, I got to say this. Or when they're done, I need to say this. So you kind of just make a note somewhere or whatever of what you want to say or what you've heard them say that you want to address, and you continue listening that way so that it's not constantly playing in your mind while you're trying to listen.
Right, because then you're not listening no more because you're trying to hold on to what you want to say.
Exactly. I agree, and so does mindtools.com. This is a website that I have been on before because they teach a lot about communication skills, and you know that I am a communication type of girl. So this is a 7-0. Hold on. Anyway, wait. Were you done?
Yeah, I can close out the segment.
This was just going to add the active listening tips. We're going to add to what you were saying, but I didn't know if you were done reading through your responses yet.
Oh yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Okay, because I still got to find the thing that I was looking for. That's why. Okay, here it goes. Okay, this is 5 key active listening techniques you can use to help you become a more effective listener. Now, this is a site for people who teach and want to learn communication. So the first skill is pay attention. Give the speaker your undivided attention and acknowledge the message. Recognize the nonverbal communication. Also speaks loudly. Look at the speaker directly. Put aside distracting thoughts. Oh my gosh, I keep hiccuping.
Too grown for that. Hold your breath.
I know. Don't mentally prepare a rebuttal. Avoid being distracted by environmental factors. For example, side conversations, and listen to the speaker's body language. People disregard body language a lot, but if I'm sitting talking to you and you pick up your phone and start scrolling, that is rude.
You're
I'm sorry.
You're not listening to me.
If we're having a conversation, an important conversation, mm-hmm. and you pick up your phone, if you want to pick up your phone and it's that important, say, excuse me for a second, I really have to take this, or I really need to. But if you just pick it up to start scrolling, I'm going to assume you're not listening and I'm not going to talk anymore and we can just table right. the discussion. Two, show that you're listening. Now you pay attention to their body language. It's time to pay attention to your own body language. Nod occasionally, smile, or whatever the conversation calls for. Make sure that
look at the people, because yeah. that is so rude.
Make sure that your posture is open and interested. So sitting cross-legged and cross-armed can be perceived as combative or kind of you're not open to what it is that they're saying. You are set in whatever you have to say. Encourage mm-hmm. the speaker to continue with small verbal comments like, yes, I see, like those kinds of things. And not be fake about it. Like, be affirming in that you're listening to them by saying, okay, I see where you're coming from, or I get it, or,
right.
you know, whatever, without interrupting with whatever other thoughts you have. Number three is provide feedback. Our personal filters, assumptions, judgments, and beliefs can distort what we hear. As a listener, your role is to understand what is being said. This may require you to reflect on what is said, what is being said, and to ask questions. And so this was sort of what my reply was. Sometimes I have a rebuttal or a reply in my mind, but that rebuttal or reply is in response to what I think I understand they're saying. Mm-hmm. And that may not necessarily be what they're trying to say. So right. you reflect on what has been said by paraphrasing. What I'm hearing is, or it sounds like you're saying X, Y, and Z. And then you ask them, is that what you mean? Or mm-hmm. you say, okay, so this is what I heard. Is this what you meant? Or what did you intend to actually say? And then when you do understand, summarize what they have just said to you. So say, when they explain themselves, you say, okay, so what you're saying is blah, 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 right? And then they say, yes. And then you respond to what you just summarized. Don't respond to what you think you thought they said at first.
Right. And don't say, well, okay, well, because I thought you were saying blah, 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 blah.
Right. And it's, that doesn't matter. No. Or unless and you're trying to say...
unless you're apologizing because you already started to respond to the other thought, but I feel like sometimes that can discount what they said because then you end up, they feel like they are repeating themselves again mm-hmm. once you introduce what you thought.
Yeah, or unless you're trying to say, okay, this is what I thought you were saying, and that's the actual thing that I disagree with. I don't disagree mm-hmm. with what you're saying right now. I disagree with this over here, and that's what I thought you were saying because of this word choice or whatever the case may be.
Just be careful with that, because that can take you down a really awkward road sometimes, depending on what it is y'all disagree with. What it is y'all are talking about, because people can be sensitive about what you assume they said. Not that that's necessary.
Well, that's why, I was going to say, that is up to whoever for how they receive it. If I'm trying to receive what you're saying and I'm telling you, I received it this way at first because of this word made me think that, not because this is what you said and you said it wrong, but mm-hmm. this is the word that I was hung up on, because when people, you know, this is what I think when I hear that. And so, and you can apologize and say, my bad, that's what I thought you meant, but it's obviously not. I don't disagree with you after all. I disagree mm-hmm. with this other thing. Now, do you, and that can open the floor for what you all actually agree and disagree with together. Like, yeah. So we agree on this part. this is the part that I disagree with. Do you also disagree with this part? Or is that the part, or do you, because this is, now this is a whole separate thing that you're talking about. And then mm-hmm. you can get to, you know, where you can come to terms with whatever the, and end in the conversation wherever you need to or whatever. Four, defer judgment. Interrupting is a waste of time. It frustrates the speaker and limits full understanding of the message. Allow the speaker to finish each point before asking questions. Don't interrupt with counter arguments. To that same effect, when you are talking, have a clear end to what it is you finna say. But I'm serious, because if I'm sitting there listening for the end of what you're saying and you're taking that as a cue as you need to just keep on talking, that's not it. Say, get to the end of your point. And that's a public speaking tip. Like, you can't just, if you're trying to get someone to understand what you're saying, you have to have a clear end of what you're saying, and then mm-hmm. signal to the person that you're done speaking so that they can know it's their turn to go and that you ain't gonna carry it. Don't interrupt with counter arguments. And then number five is respond appropriately. Active listening is designed to encourage respect and understanding. You are gaining information and perspective. You add nothing by attacking the speaker or otherwise putting them down. Be candid, open, and honest in your response. Assert your opinions respectfully. Treat the other person in a way that you think he or she would want to be treated. So, basically, calling somebody stupid because they disagree with what you disagree with is inappropriate. Like,
it's extremely frustrating.
It is. Being like,
that's stupid.
Or calling people out of their names or whatever, like, whatever you resort to because you're upset about what it is that they're saying, if you all are actually mm-hmm. having a conversation that's supposed to be an exchange of information, that's not going to help anything.
I would say I am always offended when I share my opinion, especially if you ask for it and we have different views and you say, see, that's stupid. I don't believe in it.
I think that's very rude.
Because I feel like you never thought that my opinion mattered in the first place. At that point, and you literally just listened to be able to tell me that anything that I was about to say was stupid.
Yeah, you wanted proof that I believe something stupid, or I was going to say something stupid that you think is stupid. Mm-hmm. And that's very rude. If I say that something is stupid or that someone is stupid in an argument or discussion, I don't respect them as an authority on that topic, I will say.
Right.
Like, I'm saying that to say, and I probably really don't mean that you're just stupid. I mean that your ignorance on this topic is probably dangerous, and that is stupid of you to say. Like, it's not a smart thing for you to say to someone or believe about whatever, and here's the reason why, and here's all this evidence to the contrary. I try not to use stupid.
Especially though, somebody you care about. Rude. Saying that's stupid is right. extremely rude. And when it's somebody you're trying to date, that can literally, like, move them into this shell of, I can't say nothing.
Right, because you think that I'm stupid, or you don't take me seriously.
Exactly, you don't take stuff I believe in seriously. It's only a space for your thoughts and your opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. I've had before where somebody would, they either called my perspective on it, like, that's stupid, I don't agree with that, I don't like when people do blah, 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 blah. They do that, or they get completely silent after I've shared my view, as if mine didn't add any value to the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then they just want to move on to something else. I don't like that either. I don't know if everybody...
You need to acknowledge that you heard me. I don't like
that. Yeah, that's very annoying to me to just, like, be like, well, and then start talking about something else. And we just had this whole discussion where I gave you 10 minutes to share your opinion.
Right.
And then I share mine. And then you try to antagonize me by saying, oh, well, I was letting you go.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
And now the conversation is dead. Like, no, you making me feel like I'm not adding value to the conversation. And that is very insulting. Mm-hmm. Especially when it's coming from somebody that's trying to date me. Because I can just pass on that altogether.
I will pass on it. Because I intend to be respected by any partner that I have. Because I am also intending to respect anyone that I'm going to be partnered with. So mm-hmm. if we can't have a discussion where you can say, okay, I hear you. And, you know, I've had many a discussion with somebody that I respect that I'm also trying to date. And they have been able to say, okay, I hear you. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I hear what you're saying, like, and I understand mm-hmm. why you think that. And that's fine with me. Like, if it's not something that we have to agree on, I'm okay with you just understanding it. Like, it's okay. Like, and then the whole, like, that's stupid. I don't believe that. I don't like when people do that. I often ask someone, does it matter? What does me believing this take away from what you believe?
Right.
Because the thing that I believe sometimes, like, in certain situations, a lot of conversations don't go that way. It sometimes is, if you don't believe this, that's a threat to X, Y, and Z. But mm-hmm. sometimes it's just that you, like, don't like something. Like, this is not bothering you. Like, you right. don't like when someone does something, and I don't mind it. Mm-hmm. And that's, what does that take away from you? You don't have to tell me you don't like it. I'm fine with it. It's fine. Like,
right. This is what I like. Yes. You like, but you don't or have this to call is what it stupid.
Yes. Or this is what I expect. This is what I like. This is what I value. If mm-hmm. you think that's stupid, is that your way of telling me you will never be able to give me that, or you will never be able to respect that I like some this or that or whatever the case may be? Because if that's the case, then yes, you can 86 yourself too. Like, you can say right. yourself out.
Because we've told y'all before, don't think that it's important to you, for you to come tell us that y'all don't think birthdays and holidays are important.
Yeah,
do not, like, come tell me that you think it's stupid. I don't care.
Because
if
at
I
the
think
end
it's important, you should think it's important.
Or you should
to a
think
certain
that, yes. I mean, if you don't think your birthday is important, that's fine. You don't have to think your birthday is important. But I'm sitting here telling you that my birthday is important. So if you're going mm-hmm. to be my partner, we
understand
will
that
celebrate
my birthday. Thank
and you will celebrate my birthday. I'm not going to plan my birthday every year just because you don't think your birthday is important. That's not happening. So mm-hmm. that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, that just
that's
stuff
a very
like
simple
that.
Example.
And that
of
is
what
a
we're
very important
about.
Political view for me. It's my birthday. Never get it twisted. That we will. I will never be in a relationship with somebody who thinks my birthday is not important. Period.
Because you will not hear the end of that.
That is a Republican of you to say. And I don't date Republicans. It's racist, and I won't have it in my home. So that's the end of those tips.
Okay.
I hope that's helpful to somebody.
Right. So that's the end of the Rescue Me segment. If you guys would like to contribute to this conversation, or if you want to share about your dating experiences in the past, maybe you've dated somebody with an opposing view, or you've been on a date and they just said something wild and you want to share that with us, you can record yourself or you can email us. Again, our email address is savethedatesos@gmail.com.
Move on to lessons learned.
All right. Well, my lessons learned, I think I've used this as a lesson learned before, but since the girl kind of reiterated what you said, my lessons learned when having a conversation with somebody that I disagree with, especially if it's somebody that I'm dating, because I'm not always a really good listener, because typically I let stuff like boil over when I'm ready to have the conversation. And then, like, even if they're telling me stuff that justifies things that has been bothering me, typically, I don't retain isn't the right word, because that's not that, but I'm not even like digesting it at the time of it mm-hmm. actually being said, because I'm trying to remember everything that I want to make sure gets said in this conversation, just in case I don't get the chance to say it again. And so, like, I feel like I need to get my point across. So I'm not very good at active listening in that way. I've noticed in dating for me. And because of that, I typically end up having to go back and, like, replay the conversation in my head and then, like, understand their point of view. And then I'm like, dang, I should have said this, because this probably mm-hmm. would have made more sense, versus just sounding like I'm kind of gaslighting. So yeah. That's definitely a lesson that I've learned in ways that I know that I am trying to improve on my active listening skills when it's somebody that I care about.
My lesson learned is that you literally are not responsible to teach everybody, especially somebody that you considered a love interest. You don't have to teach them, especially if they're not receptive to learning. Mm-hmm. Basically just take these times that we're in right now on racism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people asking questions that are very basic questions about racism. you do not have to take it upon yourself to educate everybody who has questions about racism, because there are so many resources, from scholarly resources all the way down to just random YouTube videos explaining racism in this country. Mm-hmm. You can find it anywhere. There are lists like that are out there when you just Google how to learn about racism or where do I start to learn about racism. There, people have put together like syllabi. For people right. who want to learn more, you do not have to sit around and explain to everybody, especially if it is triggering for you to do so, because that is very triggering for me. Because at a point, you seem to start having to explain your humanity to somebody, and it's just not worth it. Tell mm-hmm. them to do their Googles. If you have a specific resource you want to recommend to them, sure. You can say, once you read this or once you've watched this, if you have some sincere questions, of course you can contact me and we can discuss it. But you are not obligated to teach anyone how to respect you or to teach anyone how to see your perspective. You can have conversations with people who are willing to have conversations with, and you can literally refuse to have other conversations if they're not conducive to like a respectful, safe conversation. Like if you don't feel safe having that conversation with them, you literally don't have to. And that is a lesson that I have learned over the years, because I was definitely let's explain. Some people don't know at first. And then I'm like,
I was just about to ask if you had ever been like at that point, like especially like with somewhere you were dating where you kept feeling like you needed to teach them something.
Yes.
And kind of.
He doesn't understand, or you know, maybe if I just explain it this way, he will understand. And then I had to realize he's committed to not agreeing with me on this or not even seeing my side. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't worth it. So you just don't have to. And that's it for me.
I'm here.
That wraps up. Sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, well, again, guys, we love y'all. Stay safe. We appreciate y'all checking us out this week. And I definitely would love for people to contribute to continue to contribute to this conversation. I know that most of us said that we would not, you know, date somebody of an opposing political conversation, but everybody might not necessarily have the same ones as us. So I'm definitely open to continuing the conversation of effective communication. That I really ain't about to go back and forth with y'all about political reviews, if I'm being honest. But in a way, like if you all have additional feedback on how to have effective communication with this being a dating show, I would love to hear that, because I think that can help a lot of people in dating situations and as they progress and transition into relationships. So definitely share those if you have some.
All right, guys, that wraps up this episode of the Save the Date podcast. Please be sure to leave us comments, leave us reviews on Apple Music to boost our rating. This is a bi-weekly podcast, so catch us here again, not next week, but next week, unless there's a holiday, which is why we missed last week. to have your story or questions included on the show, just email us at savethedatesos@gmail.com. Or you can send us a voice note to that same email. You can send us a DM, or you can send us a voice message within the Anchor app, and that's anchor.fm. Follow us on Twitter at Save the Date Show. And like Candace said, take care of yourselves. We love y'all. I hope this was fun during this, you know, kind of heavy time. We'll be here, y'all. We here. And we support y'all. We love y'all. I want the best for all of us. So.